Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today, Catherine, we're going to address an issue anybody rarely talks about in corporate trainings, or I never really hear anybody talk about this. Yeah. I mean, it's just something we talk about. What to do when someone you work with processes information differently than you do.
Ooh.
We're not talking about your husbands here, or your wives. Talking about in the workplace.
That's a given.
Right. Our question comes from someone who recently discovered that a colleague who sat at the same meeting and took the same notes interpreted the information completely different.
Wow. That would be mind-bending. You think you're both operating with the same information, but each person uses it differently.
Yeah, they hear it differently.
Yeah, I hope our listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Well, let's just go right to the question, Casey. By the way, Logan's coming back soon, but we love Casey.
I have a coworker who I'm having trouble communicating with. We met last week and created a list of things we needed to do to move forward on a certain project, and we both went off to accomplish our individual tasks. When we met again this week, she came with a completely different list of actions she'd taken. I was stunned. I asked her what had happened between now and when we first met. She shrugged her shoulders and said, "I don't know. I thought what we came up with was a general outline. When I thought about it some more, these were the actions I decided we needed to take. How do I work with this person?"
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to throw that at you, Catherine. I find this kind of thing so maddening.
Yeah. Well, so I think the first thing that you have to do in a funny way is you have to kind of slow the boat down, which is you have to revisit what happened. I think you need to bring back the list that you originally created. Mm-hmm. And then I would really want to ask this person, not just, okay, so I understand you went away and you thought about it differently. How did you come up with this set of actions? So at least that you're finding out what their thinking is. Because I think what we have here is someone whose thinking process is clearly different from the person who's writing the question. Your face looks
I mean, I just think that, I don't know, maybe they weren't paying attention.
Well, that's possible.
Or they just had their own agenda to begin with.
That's also possible, or they're trying to prove something to you.
I sometimes think that it's a manipulation, that people, you're at the same meeting and everybody agrees, but because they don't want to disagree,
uh-huh.
And then they'll just go and do what they want, because that's what they always wanted.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Now, that's not true. That's probably a small percentage of the time.
Yeah.
The other time, I just think there's also disconnecting. People are not always connected.
Right. Well, as my husband always says to me when it seems like he didn't understand what I said.
I said we weren't going to talk about that.
I know, but he uses a term that I think is helpful, which he'll say, "I didn't synapse on it." And I think that goes to what you're saying, which is sometimes people may be listening and nodding and writing, but they're not actually taking the information in.
Yeah, see, I think what goes on at home is there is a lack of listening. And that's a separate, that is a completely separate podcast, which we don't talk about, except when it comes up like this. I definitely think that at home, everybody's, you know, comfortable. Yeah. And, you know, you half listen because, you know, you're waiting for, you know, 9 o'clock for the Rachel show to come on or whatever you're waiting for. But I think in the workplace, there's really nothing else to do but work, usually.
One would hope.
Yeah. So that you're being paid for the work you're doing. So it's your job to go to a meeting, you pay attention at that meeting. You know, you're you're going to deliver something, you actually deliver it. I mean, that's so I'm always confused when the disconnect happens in a professional meeting, because it's not like you are eating dinner while you're having that meeting, or you're, you know, waiting for your soup to arrive. It's that
right,
you're
having, or watching a sports program, or
usually
something.
You're having a meeting in a room, or even if it's on Zoom, like you're having a meeting and that's where your focus is. People can see you.
Yeah.
They watch you. There's an actual meeting going on. So the disconnect to me is, it's got to be, if this continually happens with this person, there's something wrong.
Correct. Well, and that's where we get to the fact, and I know we were going to talk about different ways that people might filter information, but the fact is that not everyone literally processes information or even hears it the same way. There are all kinds of possible undetectable cognitive deficits that people have. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I've worked with someone who literally, again, we'd be in the same room. We both get the same instructions. And what he heard and what I heard were just completely opposite.
Was there something wrong with him?
I think he did have a learning disability, undiagnosed. Mm-hmm. So that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, in this case, it doesn't sound, I don't hear the person saying it didn't make sense or it took us totally off track. This case sounds a little bit more like somehow the other person was interpreting the information and maybe taking it a step ahead, or thinking, we just, as they said, this is a rough outline, now I'm going to make it mine.
Right. That's what I think the person is saying. I just thought this was a general idea and that I could go do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And that's a separate problem than hearing. That's just somebody who wants to do it their way.
That's right.
But this is very, very real in terms of people do bring their own agendas.
Yes, they do. Written and unwritten.
Mostly unwritten.
Yeah.
Their own career agendas and their own positioning, you know, how they want to be seen.
Right.
So there's that going on.
Yeah. So I think in this particular situation.
Oh, yeah. Go back to the question. Right. How do I work with this person?
Yeah. I think what you would have to do with this person going forward is that you would want to, after a meeting, send a follow-up email, perhaps, where you say, this is what we agreed to. If you decide to change it, if there are revisions, please let me know. So we're working from the same position.
Definitely going forward, you want to spell that. After you have a meeting, then you write it all out.
Right.
And then you send it and say, is this your understanding?
Exactly. Yeah. Is this your understanding? I like that.
Yeah. And also, you can do it right then, you know, in the meeting, and also say, let me sum it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then see if you can get their agreement. And then send it in writing anyway.
Right.
And you may want to CC some people.
And you might have them swear on the Holy Bible when they get the email so that they know that they're committing. The other thing that you could do is you start it by writing up those notes and sending, and then the next time you meet, you have them send you their understanding of what we've agreed to do. So it's not all on you, all the work.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I can hear people in the audience thinking, why is it always on me? You know, they're the ones that have the problem. Why do I always have to take the responsibility?
Right.
because that's how you work with people.
Yeah.
Is you have to, you know, if you're in a situation and this happens to you, you have to take some responsibility that you made some assumptions that this person was just like you.
That's right.
And heard the same thing as you, and was going to be as responsible as you. And we all know that if we had all been cloned, it would be a very different workplace.
But I think that's a very good point to, one thing I would start out saying is, do not take this behavior, at least on the onset, from that you're insulted or that you're hurt or it feels deceptive place. It possibly could be deceptive, but I think it's better to give the benefit of the doubt as you're trying to work out solutions to your obviously very different information processing style.
I think that's true. I think you could feel suspicious and think suspiciously, but you don't let them know that.
Right.
You give them the benefit of the doubt just to see that maybe, you know, it was innocent.
Right, exactly.
And what are the chances of that? It could be. It could be that they were innocent, that they were having a bad day and they didn't hear.
Yeah. And even if it's someone who's being covertly competitive or whatever you want to call it, it's not, they may not even be aware of that. You know, they may not be conscious of what they're up to.
I think that's true.
So yeah. I think we're agreed here that the way you're going to handle this is you're going to, you know, address the situation, try to find out more exactly what that person's thinking was, how they came to this conclusion. And then you say, okay, going forward, whatever we agree on, I'll start. I'll write the first email that sums it all up. We'll agree to it. And if anyone does something different, we let each other know if we come to other conclusions. And then as we meet, you can write it up another day and we'll keep each other accountable that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best that you can do. And, you know, we got to work with all kinds of people. This is a tricky one, though. I think it's tricky.
It is, because it can be extremely frustrating, number one. And it can feel like you're being undermined.
Well, I mean, to work with someone who doesn't hear the same thing as you, you make agreements with them, and then the agreements are not what you thought.
Right.
That's tricky.
It is.
I mean, you want to get to a place with your coworkers that you can almost talk shorthand.
Right.
That communication is seamless. So this really puts a wrench in communication. It makes it a lot more difficult.
Yeah, and it also slows it down. It forces, and if you're busy trying to hit deadlines,
yeah,
this kind of person is a real challenge to work with.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. If you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, please tweet us at AskK2, A-S-K-K, and the number 2.
And if you want to get on our email list, text us at 228-28 and type in My Crazy Office, all one word. You can also follow us on Instagram at My Crazy Office.
And we're going to come back and talk about different filters that people filter their listening through.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. So we thought we'd continue this podcast talking about how people process information through different filters.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to explain that.
Well, I had a question actually about how important communication is in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are many other aspects of...
A behavior at work?
Yeah.
Yeah. That count, but communication suddenly seems like a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. Like, it's interwoven through everything else. And how does that have to do with processing information?
What a great question, Casey. Thank you. It actually goes directly to what Kathy was saying in the term filters, right? That what happens is, in communicating, words mean different things to individuals. So in some ways, you have to figure out what language the other person is speaking, even if it's English, the same, or whatever the same language that you speak. And then people listen, which is another form of communication, listening, listen differently through different filters. And that's what we were going to discuss. So if someone's filter listening is different from yours, or if the same words mean something different to them, that's part of what you have to figure out in order to work with that individual.
But just to answer your question, I think communication is, in the workplace, critical. Whether it's speaking or writing, it's very important that you are able to communicate your thoughts in a way that can be heard.
It's also the number one complaint or the number one praise that employees make of their companies. So, Kathy, if communication is good, clear, transparent, consistent, employees love working there because they always know where they stand and there's a clear way of things being both explained and decided. If it's murky, if it's secretive, if it's not clear, it's a very tough place to work.
And, you know, people learn, even they start to understand the signals because, you know, people listen to everything, the way you look, your body language, the way you phrase things. And eventually the whole a whole department moves to the same rhythm as their boss. Oh, it's a good time to talk. Oh, it's a bad time to talk. You know, they're constantly taking their boss's temperature and everyone's temperature, and they know, you know, people tend to maneuver. Like, communication is really important. It's either pretty crazy or it's good, or it can be in between, but it's critical.
Yeah. So when we're talking about filters, because, and in this case, I think we're talking more about listening filters, right? How you take in information. I jotted down a few ideas. You may have some as well, Kathy. But I was thinking there are, in my experience, there are defensive listeners. And those are the people who hear everything as either a critique of what they're doing or something that they now need to push back and defend themselves on. There are the spacey listeners who are nodding and not taking in most of what you're saying. And they may even be the people say, they're the distracted listeners who you have a good sense that they're not taking in anything you're saying. The defiant listeners, you know, the ones that may sit and with arms crossed and they're listening to you, but really listening to think about how they're going to defy what you're talking about. Competitive listeners, listening and waiting for the opportunity to come in and show you they know more than you do. And then I thought of also of literal listeners. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The ones who literally take what you say word for word. I get in big trouble with those.
Children are like that.
Yes. But you said. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, so some of the ones I wrote is that some people listen through distrust. They don't really trust what they hear. Some people listen through anger. And I think a lot of people listen through fear. I think they're very afraid that you're going to say something that's going to hurt them. They just they just hear everything through their own personal insecurities and their fears.
I like that.
And then I actually recently met somebody who heard through injustice. She everything she saw everything through was that fair? That's not fair. Everything was filtered through that.
Wow.
Which was really interesting, too. But then on the other side, I also think there are people that listen very trusting. They're kind of naive.
You know, and I would add to that, even they're the ones who listen for the possibilities.
Right. Right? That's true. There's a lot of those. Right. They always see, hear possibilities. I have a girlfriend like that.
Yeah.
I was once called her... as a friend of mine, I once called her to tell her that there was actually Hurricane Sandy was coming and she was flying into New York and I didn't think she should come. And I was telling her all these predictions and she said to me, oh, so what you're saying is I should bring a raincoat. That was how she heard the weather report.
And we'll go for a walk in the rain.
And we did. And that most people stayed away. So, yeah, she hears things through for possibilities. But, and by the way, that could be very frustrating. Listen, you know, somebody that hears everything, everything is always so positive. They find the positive in everything because sometimes you need to be concerned.
Right, right.
Okay. So these filters.
Yeah.
We all have them.
We do, Kathy.
And we, I think our moods change. You know, sometimes I hear things through fear. Sometimes I don't. Or anger, depending on the day. So you have to be careful in work when you communicate that if sometimes you're able to read it. You read a person and you're able to adjust the way you're speaking to them because you can see it's going through some filter you didn't intend.
Right. You can look at, see their face is telling you
their
something.
Their whole body is telling you that. But many times we don't know when we're stepping in a landmine. We just don't know. I mean, eventually you find this out about people.
That is the tough thing about listening filters is that you don't, they are very invisible, right? So you don't know what they are until...
People should wear a sign, shouldn't they?
I'm angry most of the time.
Whatever you say to me, I'm going to filter it through my fears. That would really make life different.
Low self-esteem here.
Oh, God. Okay, we're going off the rails now.
But it's true. You don't, it is, I think that's part of the work experience, but really part of the human experience is to learn. And I really like what you say about the filters depend often on mood. You know, if someone's very tired, their less positive filters may come up.
That's right.
Or if they've just been through a rough time, they don't feel well. If someone's really rushed, their filters may, they're more defensive, stressful filters. And that's, by the way, here's another piece of communication styles and listening styles, is when people are under stress, their less productive filters come up. It's just, yeah, it's an automatic. So to be aware, as you said, if you know that for some certain people, when they're under stress, they hear everything as a demand, let's say, mm-hmm, then you want to be able to approach and couch whatever it is you're going to say in a non-demanding way.
Yeah, I also feel that, and this is, I think we're doing this because we really want people to check in with themselves and, mm-hmm, you know, ask yourself what is your own listening mechanism through what.
Right.
Because I think sometimes when we're very stressed or very tired, or the way we hear things, we make poor decisions.
Yes.
So it's important to know, okay, you know what? I didn't hear that conversation the way, or I'm not reading this email in the right state of mind. So I'm going to step away and read it again tomorrow. Or I'm going to you know, send that email to Kathy and have her read it and tell me what it really says, which is what I do a lot.
That's such a good point. When you can feel maybe you're tired or your defenses are down, and therefore it's likely that your negative filters are coming up.
Yeah.
You don't want to take an action that you may regret.
Or make a decision,
that you may regret.
Mm-hmm. So I just challenge everyone to think about this on a daily basis. You know, think about, you know, am I really hearing what's happening here? You have no control over anyone else.
Right.
But for you, you know, what is my filter? What is my filter today?
Yeah.
And, you know, we get into patterns with people. You know, we just, oh, well, they're a liar. So then we hear everything is untrue, or they're this. And, you know, it's just good to challenge that sometimes.
Yeah. And I would also say it's great to practice really active listening yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hear something and you really don't fully understand what the other person said, it's great to, you know, echo back. I thought I heard you say this, or are you telling me that we need to do this? Rather than, I don't have time for that, or whatever it is that you may be feeling emotionally as you're hearing the person. Mm-hmm. All right, that's it. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories to AskK2. Follow us on Instagram. Review us on iTunes. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.